This is the Fuel Podcast. I'm Ian. We got other people here.
Oh. Micah's here.
Blaine is here.
Zach is here.
If you want to email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, you guys are going to talk about the stupidest movie you've seen in seven years.
First, Blaine's going to talk about June.
I don't know, we can talk about the other one first.
Talk about June now.
He's going to save the best for last. Me talking about a movie by myself.
So the other day we saw Aliens vs. Predator Requiem.
Oh.
going into it, knowing that a few reputable journalism websites such as AV Club gave the film in a letter grade format an F.
Wow.
Which is probably the lowest you can go.
Probably.
F minus, maybe? Can you go less than that?
That's childish.
F minus is kind of like when you've like shot somebody twice and they're dead and then you go up and you shoot them again just because it, you know, it makes you feel better.
Right. F minus.
Yeah, that's mean.
That's just mean. So F minus is when you not only fail but you do it in a mean way.
Okay. Well, the person does it.
So, Aliens vs. Predator. The only thing you need to know about this movie is that you spend a great deal of time getting to know completely unnecessary characters who end up dying.
Completely expendable people. Yeah.
And you spend a great deal of time developing their characters just so they can get killed
Every killed off character, which is a lot,
which is almost all of them.
Their character gets developed. Every one of those.
But does that sort of in some way make you think that it's really more surprising when they actually kill them all?
No, no, they do it in a line.
They don't stop.
They just keep...
They develop one, kill them, and develop another, kill them.
Are you going to watch this movie? Because we'll just completely spoil it.
I don't think so. Okay. I thought it might be. But from the trailers, it just looked like they were doing it wrong. My brother looked at it, and he was like, it's not hard. It's aliens, it's predators. Why can't they make a good one?
Well, here's
why they can't make a good one. Because they wanted to put people in it. And it's in modern times, and it's in the USA, and it's in the woods.
It's an X-Files episode.
It is, and it spends a lot of times in X-Files-like areas, like the school pool, and the sewers. Local power plant.
The sewers.
The forest. It was basically
the Vancouver forest.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Doubling for Pacific Northwest or something. It lands in Oregon somewhere.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. They never really said what state it was.
It's in Colorado.
Colorado.
They say that's in Colorado.
Okay. Weird. Well, you guys were paying attention more than I was.
Remember, it got nuked. It showed up.
Right. So anyway,
it does get nuked. That's how the continuity is maintained
because it gets nuked, but the entire army knows about it, and so do the surviving characters, which number three, I believe, or four.
There's four.
And here's the thing. So everyone else gets killed. But the four surviving characters have severe radiation. They have to have severe radiation poisoning.
They're on the way out.
They get rocketed by the blast of the nuke.
They would never survive
the shockwave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're done for too then.
So here's the defining moment in the movie. The main kind of character is this kid. Well, first of all, we follow his brother, who's a dangerous criminal who was released from prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we know he was a badass. He's dangerous because he wears a leather jacket.
He was talking about how badass he was a lot of the time, too.
he comes back to his hometown after getting let out of prison, and the sheriff is there, who's some sort of swarthy foreigner.
That's strange.
He wasn't really a foreigner, but he just looked like he was some sort of Mexican or something.
Yeah, he didn't. He looked out of place.
He looked out of place. There should be no Mexicans in any Alien vs. Predator.
Or Colorado.
So he comes up to the Mexican and he says, "Hey, what's going on?" He's like, "Hey, I can give you a ride, you know." And he goes, "I'm used to riding the backs of these things." And then he looks around for approval from all the other badasses
in the
town. And what's funny is that during that time, like, it's supposed to be a small town, and when he shows up and, like, walks out in the middle of the street and there's a police truck there, in the meanwhile, there's, like, 1,000 people crossing the street. And there's people, very nonchalantly drinking drinks and stuff like that as they walk straight across.
No one's looking at them.
There's people like talking on cell phones. They're all looking straight ahead.
It was like the entire cast's families decided to show up that day and they decided to put them all in as extras for no reason.
Every single person who lived in this town was crossing the street while this guy was pulled in on a Greyhound. So then a few other times in the movie, he then repeatedly mentions to the sheriff that he feels more comfortable riding the back of his truck. And then at one point he says... let's go. He goes, I'm right in the back of your truck. And he's like, I get it. He doesn't say that, but you felt like he was saying at that point. Like,
is that supposed to be some kind of innuendo for some kind of sexual change? You know, they have to reinforce how badass.
Seems like it. And it turns out he's not very badass at all. In fact, he's a very level-headed, like, responsible person. He's like the most level-headed,
He's supposed to be badass, right, but getting reformed.
So there's even some Iraq war stuff in here. Dude. We'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, so this guy's this badass. His brother is the local pizza delivery guy. And we know he's a rebel because his boss tells him, you work at this pizza place, you got to wear the hat. And he says, I don't want to wear the hat. And he says, you wear the hat. And he goes, I don't want to wear the hat. And they have this exchange for a couple minutes. And then he goes, listen, you got to deliver this pizza to this one place. And he goes, I can't do it, man. That's not a place I can deliver it to. So far we've gotten two vital pieces of information about this kid.
He won't wear the hat.
He won't deliver pizzas. To this place. He won't deliver it to this one place. He gets there. Here's why he won't deliver it there.
Because the hot chick that he's been into. The hot chick
that he's been into is there.
I haven't predicted the hot chick, remember?
With the jerk boyfriend, he answers the door?
No, she answers the door.
But he's in the back and he's...
He walks into the house and the jerk boyfriend and his two jock buddies are there. And they make fun of him being gay, which he's not, because he's into her, right?
Totally.
So here's the funniest part.
He doesn't like the funniest part of the back of the truck. Yeah.
So he pulls in his beat up truck. And this rich girl is like, she's checking him out the whole time. Like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while.
What's going on? This is the chick he's into?
Yeah. She's obviously into him back. And he says, like, I didn't know your boyfriend was going to be here or something like that, which is stupid because he was just delivering pizza. Yeah. So anyway, she's like, yeah, well, I think I'm going to fire him soon. And he's like, oh, yeah? And she's like, yeah. And so she's basically, like, hitting on him, you know?
Okay.
And she's really hot for this movie, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So then he goes back out to his truck, and the three jock guys come out there, and they beat him up.
Yeah. For no reason, right?
They're like, hey, man, you son of a bitch, and they push him around, and they beat him up.
Did they peer through the windows and know that he was trying to make time with the other guy's girl?
They were in the same house.
Yeah, yeah. He just went into the kitchen.
But when did he have this altercation with the girl? Where she said she was going to fire her boyfriend.
They were 10 feet away in the other room. He probably heard very loudly everything she said.
That was
his first clue.
That would be why he beat him up.
No, he beat him up because he made fun of him. He called him. He said that they were gay or something like that.
No.
He said that they made fun of him for being just a nerd, and he made fun of them for being gay.
Yeah, that's true. When he walked in, he said... Oh, I should have known you guys were here. This pizza has extra sausage on it. And they're like,
I guess. So anyway,
he goes outside and he turns around and they're all there.
Sucker punch.
And they give him a good.
Do they do the whole like the two bros hold him and then the main guy?
Do you know why they did it? The whole entire reason for the fight scene was so that they can get his keys down into the sewers.
Because they take his keys for continuity and they toss him in the sewers and he's like, duh. Right. So he goes
Does he have a Magna thing backup key hidden on the chassis of the car?
He has to walk home and he sneaks in through the open window in his house, and his dirtbag brother, who's actually the most responsible guy in the film, is there. And he's like, what are you doing sneaking in through the window? That's my gig, or something like that.
He
keeps like mentioning that he's a criminal. But
okay, and he's a bad guy.
So anyway... So you spend all this time getting these movies characters, and then like every 10 minutes there's like a scene where there's some aliens like killing somebody, and then a predator who's like stabbing some aliens and killing some guys when he has the time too. And then like, you know, they just happen to coincide in the same movie.
Okay, he poured a lot of liquid that made bodies.
Yeah, that was my most irritated point.
And he
gets this blue liquid.
He never runs out.
Yeah, he dissolves bodies.
Who, the predator?
Yeah.
Yeah, it also alien bodies as well. But that's my biggest problem with the film. Well, there can be no evidence for a while, so it can be a mystery. That's the problem. That's my biggest problem. So he goes around and he's like, starts dissolving all this stuff, and he's like, oh, I don't want any evidence. Okay, he does it through the entire movie. Yet, he's in one scene, he freaking knifes a sheriff dude, skins him, and hangs him from a tree, and just doesn't dissolve the body.
That's a good point.
I don't understand it at all.
Maybe it wasn't so much to conceal the evidence, but to like isolate the alien threat, because you know the alien didn't get to that guy. He was melting all the bodies that the alien did.
It still doesn't make any
sense. It doesn't make any sense.
No, but it was a unique thing.
You're right. That does.
If they were infected with alien eggs.
Yeah, because that guy he killed wasn't infected. Anyway, so here's the big thing that drives this movie. In the very beginning, there's an alien hanging out, or there's a predator hanging out on his boat, right? His space boat ship thing. Flying through space, and he's got some aliens inside
Facehuggers.
Yeah, Facehuggers. Yeah. And there's another alien in the John, or another predator in the John, right? Mm-hmm. He's hanging out, chilling out, you know, and the guy who's this one predator is laying on his bed there, and he's twiddling his thumbs, and then blammo, an alien comes out of him, right? That's the beginning of the movie. Whoa. And anyway,
this is an alien predator, no, though, right?
He's the dead predator from Alien vs. Predator 1.
Yeah.
That they pull out of their ship.
That's a weak link. So anyway, okay. the alien that comes out is an alien predator.
Yeah, of course.
A praelian, or an aliador. It's an aliador. So the aliador...
So the predator.
The aliador is able to... The praelian?
The predator.
Praelian's pretty good.
The praelian is able to... So when he gets to Earth, not only does he bring just some regular aliens with him, and they go around and do his bidding, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the breeding, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, he does this other thing. This is the new thing they invent. And as you're watching this, there's a lot of pregnant women in this film. And as you're watching it, you're thinking, oh, they're going to do something weird so that an even newer hybrid comes out, right? Instead, all it is he finds a pregnant woman, and he jams something down their throat, and he pumps just more aliens into them.
So they don't just hatch regular just, aliens. So they don't hatch just one, they hatch like five or six.
Oh my God.
So exponentially increasing the
amount. It's really gruesome, though.
Yeah.
Like, tough to watch kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was really, like, hoping they didn't kill the babies, and I'm glad that they did. Because, like throughout the movie, they, you know how they killed the kid in the beginning? Yeah. I was like, lame. There was a lot of killings that, like...
They did some things that would have been considered shocking if this movie was any good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just do it for that reason. They did it for that trying reason. To be edgy.
There's a hunter and son, father-son duo that's hunting out
there.
Are they
bow hunting? Or
no, and they come across the crashed predator ship.
Okay.
The aliens, you know, the facehuggers come out. They get both of them. They wake up. And the kid's father's arm is melted off because
he shoots one of the facehuggers in it. Like
he shoots a facehugger and the acid gets on his arm. His arm falls off. They both pass out because the facehuggers.
Mm-hmm.
They both wake up around the same time, and the son gets to watch his own father's chest explode. An alien comes out seconds before his own does the same, which is kind of brutal.
It was really not untaste. It wasn't very tasteful.
Yeah, it was like it was tasteless, which is ridiculous tasteless. Considering that. You know, I like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just not well done. You got to know. And they did it a few other times. And there was several pregnant women where one of them is one that they introduce as kind of a character, and then she just gets her stomach blown out, and then you find her when she's dead and her stomach's blown open.
I was like, what?
And then you see another pregnant lady who's waking up in the pregnancy ward in the hospital, and you see her stomach explode, and aliens be like, "Yay!" and leap out of her. And then
sounds like they just kind of trumped the violence level. Didn't think to actually make a good story too. You know,
and then here's another really really stupid part of the movie. So, the girl is waiting for the nerdy pizza guy, who's apparently very attractive.
Yeah,
he pulls up.
I don't
to work,
understand what
and
what's
she
going on
and
that.
He's changing his shirt in his car, right? Because he's got to do that. And he's taking off his clothes and he's stretching. And he's like, even though he's out, you know, he's in Main Street pretty much, parked out in front of his pizza place. And he looks over and notices that the girl is watching.
Why would she
door.
Be watching?
She's like, and he's like, oh, geez. And he puts on his pizza shirt, and she's like, hey, so. You know, that was really cool the way you got your ass beat at my house earlier and went through your car. You know, but basically, like, that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, so maybe you want to go...
Because she fired her boyfriend.
Yeah, she fired him. She's like, I fired him, basically. Because after he proved his manhood by defeating you physically, I decided that I had enough of that male dominance, and I just want someone who's going to roll over and die when danger comes.
Right,
she says, let's go swimming later at the school pool, right?
Ooh.
Just like they used to do.
Just like they used to do back when they were like 12. Because they were best friends back in like...
Yeah,
you know,
they
kind of
emphasized that.
That's one of those backstories.
They were trying to make it, you know, at least feasible that this chick would have anything to do with this guy. He kind of looks like he has AIDS.
Yeah.
So they end up at the school later. And she's like, she meets him. They kiss. And then she starts taking off her clothes. And she's wearing like this tiny little top. And then, like, a different colored...
Remember, she explains it.
She explains why she has different colored top and underwear.
Well,
which
she's
is,
like, I couldn't
decide
which... I couldn't decide which...
between the black and the blue one.
No,
she
couldn't decide
She couldn't decide between...
Which swimsuit to wear, so...
She decided to wear mismatched underwear!
Yeah.
So I said let you decide.
And so they start making out. And then... You know, a truck pulls up, and the guy and his two jock friends, who apparently have nothing better to do but hang out with this guy while he beats ass, you know? hey, that has nothing to do with my life, but I'll follow you to beat this guy's ass. Man, let's go. And so they show up there, and they get all in a fracas.
An
anyway.
Altercation.
They all end up in the pool.
But first of all, they start walking in. The girl's like, what are you guys doing here? And she starts putting on her clothes, right? But it's taken her forever, and she's putting on her
shirt. She doesn't even get her top.
She's buttoning her pants, bottom. And she's angry at this guy the whole time. She's like, John, what are you doing here? And she's still putting on her clothes. And then all the guys tackle each other, and they end up in the pool. And then an alien comes in the pool, like, kind of unannounced. It just kind of shows up and ends up in the pool. And the girl's like, oh, damn, there's an alien. And meanwhile, she's still putting on her two articles of clothing she took off, right? It's taken her this long to keep putting on her clothes. And she keeps buttoning and strangling stuff.
The camera angles are, like, superimposed
on
her
ass. And then, while this is happening, we get this shot of her bending over to pull up her, like, pants.
Yeah.
And it stays on her butt for 17 seconds. While she's pulling up her pants, it like zooms in on her butt.
But while there's like, while there's an alien fighting,
shit isn't important though.
Yeah. And it stays on her for a really long time, and then like it kind of zooms in, like pulls back, and like, making sure that they keep the butt in frame while she pulls her pants on.
Yeah,
and then anyway, the alien ends up killing one of the buddies. And the rest of them get out of the pool, and she's still putting on her clothes. The whole thing took, like, because they cut back to another story, and then came back to it. So the whole thing took about 7 minutes, and she still hadn't put on her two articles of clothing. That's why the movie completely lost my sense of
it wasn't realistic. Belief. Yeah. Their sense of time.
They lost my sense of belief at that point.
I need to talk about when the girlfriend died.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, that's my other thing, though, about that movie is, like, you almost think that you're going to see hot boobies or something like that.
Yeah, but they didn't.
The only boobs you see in the movie are corpse boobs.
So you felt tricked.
I felt tricked.
Micah felt tricked.
I went to see a radar film, and the only thing that was in there were...
Because he wanted to see tits.
But there was all there was corpse boobs. Yeah. That's it.
If you want corpse boobs, you can watch House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, exactly.
There were so many corpse boobs in that.
There were thousands of corpse boobs.
I'm just saying, when you see a radar movie, you expect to see a boob here or there, but not dead people boob, but real boob.
While they were running, one of them could have fallen out of her shirt. She could have tucked it back.
Yeah. She would have died because.
It's one of those things where they set up which characters are going to live and die, and then in a normal movie, like, you would have known, oh, this one's going to live and stuff. And then, like, you know, it was important to this guy that he got with this girl. And then they're like, then she doesn't talk for like 45 minutes. Every time she's in a scene, she's just like, he's like, don't worry. And then like a predator ends up throwing, you know, his karate
ninja star,
his Krull thing.
Oh, the thing from Krull.
Yeah, and the Krull thing like Ghost. Ends up slaughtering her and smashing her into a wall. And he's like, oh, jeez.
He throws it and it slashes through one of the aliens, and then it keeps going and just like impales her.
But it's something new. It's the glaive from Krull. It's not the thing that Danny Glover had in Predator 2, which was more like a frisbee.
They added more razors to it.
Yeah, it's like bigger, really long, it's really, really big.
Awesome.
and this predator also
is actually the most surprising.
Is a humanitarian, like a. Because here's how this predator gets involved in this thing. Mm-hmm. So there's that first predator who died, and the predator who was taking him home.
Mm-hmm.
The predator who died, the alien, you know, the prey alien comes out of him. Mm-hmm. And that predator then shoots around his ship until they kill him. Right? And then it crashes. So then the only reason why there's another predator in this at all is because there's a predator kicking back at his own house, sitting in an easy chair on some alien, on his predator planet. And when he's got there, it's like the Hanging Towers of Babylon on this planet, basically. And he gets, like, a video message, right? And so he, like, puts down his, like, moving eyepiece.
There's so many, like...
Yeah. And the moving eyepiece shows him the final... Basically, the scenes we exactly saw where the guy's shooting at the aliens in the ship and then they kill him. And he's like... And he goes... And then he grabs a bunch of guns and gets in his own ship and takes off. Like, he needs to avenge the guy. So maybe it was his brother.
I don't see why he would get, like, you know, it was like a video of what they, like, just, like, their last video.
But he goes alone. He knows there's
more like
aliens.
Like it was going to be an official thing, you know?
He's like a predator cleaner.
He might have been, but he takes off and he...
He was alone. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, I wanted more predators.
Yeah.
It was aliens versus predator.
And the praelian end up killing each other, and then the nuke goes off because the government knows.
Mm-hmm.
And half the cast... decides they're going to split off and go to where the government told them to go. And the other half of the cast decides they're going to go to the hospital because with their helicopter.
The government doesn't lie.
Because, yeah, there's actually a really funny line. So there's all these like pseudo-political things in there where one of the main characters is a woman who just got back from Iraq, right? And her daughter's like,
oh, I haven't seen you for 7 years. I don't want you to be my mom anymore. Like, that sort of thing.
Because she was in Iraq, you know, fighting an unjust war.
Yeah.
And an illegal war. This illegal war. I hate when you say that. Like all war, like wars are usually like signed by a notary that they're legal before you get into it.
It's an official thing.
So there's that character, and she decides to go off because this lady in this one part goes, the government guy's like, everyone meet in the town square, we'll pick you up, I swear, there's not going to be any monkey business. And they're like, we believe you. And then like a handful of them are like, we're going to go to get the helicopter. And this one lady goes, why would the government lie? Right? Mm-hmm. It's all 9/11 stuff. Yeah. It's all like it's all referring to 9/11, referring to
That's what made Blaine Patriot a believer in the movie.
Yeah, Blaine liked the movie just because it basically followed the whole tenets of loose change.
No, it was hilarious because they were trying to make it political.
That was funny. Like
I didn't get anything.
Didn't they throw a couple of things like that in there? You know.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it was a really bad movie.
Entertaining though.
We should talk more about. The girl's dying.
Well, here's the other thing that really got to
that
me.
That really
is,
bothered
like,
you, huh?
The alien, alien blood's like acid.
Right.
Right? So if you shoot them, it squirts out. Whatever it touches is going to start burning. Okay, got that. So a lot of it's long-range shooting or whatever. And there's a scene where the guy has got the gun, and he's the like hiding the thing. The alien's like right
alien
above
hangs
him.
Hangs over his head.
And he goes, boom! He shoots it like right above his head and blows the alien's head clean into the sky, and then he like walks away.
Yeah, because
like,
no acid
got on me.
Well, it's because he lived long enough in prison to know where acid was going to fall if he shot. If he shot something.
Didn't they establish in the very first Alien movie that like the acid is neutralized if the alien is dead or something?
No,
it seemed like, or maybe it's in Aliens. I think they established something about the acid being neutralized. After, if the alien is completely wiped out.
You've seen Aliens more than that. I think I've seen Aliens like three times. So.
No. Yeah, I think they did the kind of like that in the stupid, very, very, very stupid Alien 4. They kind of deal with that a little bit. Where like there's like a dead alien sitting there. And they go up to look. An alien comes up to look at it. And you see a shotgun barrel come up through like the dead alien. Where there should be like acid eating
alien
through the
4,
eating through the shotgun barrel. And goes... And blows the alien away.
It was just saliva.
It was just saliva, yeah. Just alien saliva. That's not...
No.
They can salivate, but...
So you're still really bothered by this death of the girl.
Yeah. So anyway, here's another stupid thing. Wait, we got to get to the end. Remember the end?
The end was amazing.
So, the name of the company. You know the name of the company? That's prevalent in all the Alien movies.
I don't remember.
Let's see if you can remember it. Let's see if you can remember.
Not Weyland.
Well, Bishop.
It's Weyland Utani or something like that.
Well, yeah, Weyland Utani.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And Bishop was the Weyland guy in Alien vs. Predator.
That's
right.
Right.
And then, of course,
Bishop Weyland.
So anyway, at the very end, like they keep trying to do this link, even though no one cares by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And the government guy who dropped the nuke walks up to in this building, and he goes,
"He's got a suitcase."
He's got a suitcase, and it ends up having like the Predator weapon in it or something like that.
The gun, Predator gun.
Because at one point
the shoulder mount.
Yeah, it ends up snapping off, and the humans end up using it like a gun.
Yeah, because you can
just hold it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait for it to load with all the Predator numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy ends up showing, at this government building, he's like, "You got this thing here, you know, the nuke went off as planned or whatever." Then he goes, "Miss you, Tawny," and it turns around. It's an Asian lady, and everyone in the audience goes,
"Yeah."
I didn't see the other
because I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And if I did get it, understand it wouldn't matter. Like you could hear people thinking that. and then they give each other furtive glances, and then the movie ends.
And high fives.
And as we walked out of the film, I was like, you know, that was Utani from the company. They're like, and Blaine and Michael were like, "Eh." Like, who cares? It doesn't matter, you know? It just is completely irrelevant at this point. Like, and that's the mistake they made. It's fine, they nuked this whole place, and that covers a lot of the people who understood there were aliens there because they were getting killed by them.
The rest
at the same
is the
time,
company people.
There's a lot of government and the company people, but what that does is it screws up the fact that in the first Alien film, before there were any retcons or anything, the first Alien film was... that this emergency beacon happened, this ship was turned off course because of it. And
no, I don't think that it was an emergency beacon. I think that the
The company.
The company actually does reroute them check something that's like they think they might have just
started. Right. They knew it was out there,
but they didn't know it was the alien. They
start to set up stuff.
They set it up before.
And the second one, like Mother knows. Mother is the name of the company of the computer. Yeah.
Right.
And the computer knew that there was some potential something there. So
like I said, don't mention some book you read that came out 15 years after the movie.
I'm not going to mention the book, but if you watch the movie, they say that their science officer, who ends up being a robot, he was replaced on the ship right before they left. So the company already knew.
But all that set up was that it was somebody they didn't have a previous relationship.
No, but the company already knew that beacon was out there.
But they didn't know what it was. They didn't know that it was going to be an alien they could develop as a weapon. That's the point.
That's what AVP-3 is going to... It's going to create links that weren't
there before. So what they're doing is, throughout the series now, they're retconning that people knew about this way before, which completely diminishes the first alien and kills it. Well, I don't consider these
aliens... No, that's what they wanted it to be about... Ever since the very beginning.
I know, and that's completely retarded, because the first one has all its power from the fact that it's just some horror movie where they happen to cross some aliens.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, one alien.
They actually find another alien. It's another alien ship.
Yeah, right.
Which they never get back into, the fact that there's multiple creatures, you know?
I personally like Alien 3. I think that's the best.
Alien 3?
Yeah, I think it rocks.
David Fincher directed.
It's all right. It's all right. I like it. You haven't seen it?
You've never seen Alien?
No girlfriends die in it, though.
Dude, yeah, no girlfriends.
It's all dudes.
No teasing that there might be boobies, and then they're not.
Oh, man, that always
gets me. It gets me every time. It
gets me.
Corpse boobies just don't do it for me.
Most of the tits in the series are Sigourney Weavers that you're seeing poking through her tiny, thin tank top.
She was a strong woman.
And she had some pretty large mammaries in the first Alien. She strips down to nothing right before she gets in the thing, and she finds an alien still on the ship. And pretty attractive if you don't look at her face.
Oh.
And her hair.
Oh.
She kind of looks like, you know, she's got the...
She's been through a lot.
That doesn't mean she couldn't have straightened her hair at some point during the whole
thing. That's true. that is true.
Touch up her makeup and once in a while.
I do think Alien 1 is a very beautiful film.
Oh, it's awesome. That's great.
I mean, if you just watch some of the cinematography, it's just insane.
Yeah, Ridley Scott knows what he's doing.
I think, Ridley Scott, that was back in when he was, really mastering what he was doing, which at the time was pretty much sci-fi. He really became a king of sci-fi out of two films. And then after that, he decided he was going to move on and do a variety of things. And he's done things that our friend Luke, Luke Heine, he's always loved Ridley Scott stuff. And some of his favorite films were White Squall and, like, other ones that are just not, like,
strange,
considered among Ridley Scott's best. But he loves Ridley Scott's... the way everything, he loves the cinematography, which isn't, him, but it's, it's his choice for shots. Like, he loves this guy. He loves his visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And been a huge fan of all Ridley Scott stuff, basically.
Well, if you go back to Alien, I think the one thing that really, really still get, I just want to watch it, I'm just really surprised it was made in, 79?
79.
And it just, there's a scene where they go to the cooling system of the ship.
Yeah.
And just that scene, the way that he films it, is just like one of the, still to this day, is still a beautiful work. If you look at a lot of old movies, you can kind of see how they're not as, they don't look as good or whatnot, but that's still very, very beautiful, just the way it's shot. It's
another one, he's really got an eye. Another one that Luke always loved was just among Ridley Scott's least even known movies was the Gerard Depardieu Christopher Columbus film, the 1492 Conquest of Paradise.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, I've seen bits of it.
3.5 hour long movie, but very beautifully shot. It's almost like watching a Terrence Malick film.
It seems like it's like that.
But Legend is the same way. If you've ever seen Legend, it's. I know some people who love it. Ryan loves it. But it's so
on DVD.
Boring.
Is that the first I Am Legend?
No. It's Tom Cruise. It's like this,
fantasy.
Is this very faggot kid?
Oh, yeah.
In the forest.
Never seen it.
I think
Ryan said he was going to show it.
You
to
have it, but it's boring.
It's Ryan's. He left it here, and I'd never.
I need to watch it because I haven't seen it.
Tim Curry is like this devil in it with these huge horns.
It's pretty freaky.
The set design and the character design is great, but it's filmed with this like Barbara Walters filter, so that everything is like.
I think
all
it's kind
fuzzy
of fuzzy and fantastical.
And they end up using a clip of the unicorn
Blade
Runner. Yeah. Anyway, it's like, you know, this guy's always been incredibly, incredible visuals.
Well, that seems anachronistic to say that, though, because Blade Runner, technically speaking, was shot first, so they use it in the director's cut,
right.
re-editing yeah. that was done years later. Blade Runner was 82, Legend was like 84, I
something
think.
Like that, yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, so, you know, when he, even in his later films,
does
where
look
it's
like
been
that,
mostly...
The, what is it called? The Duelist or something? It's the one with Harvey Keitel and Keith Carradine.
I don't remember.
They're both soldiers in the Napoleonic
right.
Wars.
I'm not sure. All I know is that he really loved Conquest of Paradise and White Squall.
I actually have never seen Conquest of Paradise. I need to watch that.
But later on, Ridley Scott stuff. And I know you said you never saw Black Hawk Down, right?
I haven't yet. I actually have it, but I haven't watched it.
He owns it, but he hasn't watched it yet. He's always been... you know, right on the forefront of where visuals are going. He's usually not an innovator in terms of what these things do, but he's really good with immediately following some new technique. For instance, right after, but Saving Private Ryan had Janusz Kaczynski use that like cut frame look that would like it was like chopping out all the
yeah.
time. And it looked incredible for that film. And Ridley Scott used that really liberally in Gladiator. And he said it was because he liked the look of Saving Private Ryan. So, and he was like, you know, it started getting used a lot after Gladiator too, like in a lot of movies. And kind of there's rain and stuff outside, and people are fighting. Like they drop the frames out, and it makes it look all like choppy and stuff and stylish, I guess. But
yeah.
Black Hawk Down has a lot of that look. So he's really good with stuff
movies.
Like that. And you know, he's actually a really strong box office guy too. I really like Ridley Scott for the most part. It's good
yeah,
stuff.
He pretty consistently does what he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Black Hawk Down is probably one of my favorite films that I've seen in the theater. Actually,
cool.
I didn't see that one in the theater.
I watched in the theater with Veronica and Nathan, and there are some scenes in it that I wasn't expecting that was kind of hard to watch.
You know, they're against us.
You know, they bombed us in World War II?
They did.
Yeah, we bombed them right back.
Yeah, and then they're going to
they,
our...
They bombed us during World War II, and we bombed them back 5 times the amount they bombed us. That's because we're Americans.
That's what they get.
And Americans do everything
that's
better.
That's what they get.
Yeah. Being... America rocks.
America.
They bombed us with thermal bombs, and we nuked them.
That's what they get for not having nukes, am I right?
Word.
They should have known better.